Welcome to this bonus episode of the Discotech Podcast. Today we're joined by special guest David Benjamin Tomlinson.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to have you on the show.
I'm very, very happy to. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for asking.
Definitely. So, did you celebrate Thanksgiving today?
No, I'm in Canada. I'm Canadian, so I already had my Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
A couple of weeks ago. How was your Thanksgiving?
Good. Very busy. Good. Lots of cooking.
Yeah.
Is everyone kind of post giant meal haze of just like
very relaxed
on the other side of the world? I'm American. I'm just like on a military base, so I'm dealing with like Black Friday and came rushing in back from doing some shopping.
Okay.
with a mask on.
Yeah, it's all very different this year.
Yeah.
It's all very different this year. I noticed when we had our Thanksgiving that there was just a strange tension in the air. And there's a couple of things that need navigation or figuring out, but you do what you can to celebrate and be grateful. And, you know, with any luck, it won't be like this next year.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. So David, we were so happy. We were talking about this when we first started the podcast, talking about Discovery. We were so happy that Linus made the jump to the future with the ship.
Me too.
He's this sweet comic relief. And what is it like as an actor to convey emotion as a character from under that mask?
It becomes a very physical expression and a physical language. I'm certainly feeling the things underneath, but in prosthetics, especially a prosthetic like Linus, where I don't get a lot of traction with my face. There's a lot of his face that won't move when I move my face because of the way of how it sits, but it becomes a real puzzle in terms of physical language. And one of the things I love most about playing that character is how that physical language has evolved and how I've learned to communicate and sort of be in that skin.
Right. I think my favorite scene with Linus so far is in the elevator when he has the cold. I love it. Yeah.
That was I was so when that happened, when that's like was my that was my very first time on set in full like prosthetic and wardrobe, and everyone was seeing the prosthetic for the first time, and everyone just kept looking because it's a beautiful piece of art to look at. It's so striking. And so everyone just kept finding reasons to walk by, and it's really lovely.
That's great. Are you able to record the dialogue that you have from under the makeup, or is that dubbed afterwards?
I'm performing the scenes and I'm talking in the scenes, but I am always having to go in afterwards and re-record the dialogue because his sort of like pointy snake teeth, it kind of slurs up my language or the pronunciation a bit. So I have them in for the effect of the teeth, and then I have to go in and re-record it without the prosthetic and the teeth.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would like to ask you, how long does it take to take in and out of the makeup?
Getting in and out of the makeup?
Yes.
It is, it's certainly a process. It's like a 2 hour, Linus is about 2 hours to get into, and then about a half an hour, depending on how quick everyone is and how eager we all are to get it off at the end of the day. It comes off much quicker than it goes on. There's a very specific order that the appliance goes on my face, and everyone who like I work with, like the remarkable prosthetic artists, we're all on the same page. And so it's down to a science in terms of first this piece and then the cowl, and you know, and there's lots of great conversation along the way. I find it quite a pleasurable process. It's like a great way to start your day. You go to set and you get to spend time with some people you enjoy being with. Then you have a couple of laughs. If it's 4:30 in the morning, maybe you're not laughing quite as much.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit lower key, but the prosthetic team are incredible, and they're in a way, like, I bonded with them because you're in a very vulnerable, it's a very sort of like vulnerable thing to be with, that they're putting this stuff on you and taking it off. And at the end of the day, you know, you've had a runny nose. So they've taken off the prosthetic and there's snot all over your face and you're dripping with sweat. And, but they don't, so they see you in this very vulnerable state that you would normally be horrified if anyone saw you, but it's all very like, everyone understands and they're like, okay, you know,
yeah,
we're all working together and there's a real trust and affection and they're great.
Yeah. Speaking of alien, you have played several alien species in Discovery. Now, do you have a favorite?
Well, I mean, I love Linus. I love Linus so much. There's something about playing that character and how that character and I connect that from the very beginning, it's just, I love being in that face and being in that sort of energy, that character energy. I love it. There's a really lovely part of myself that gets to play when I play Linus. I have to say that I really loved being a mean thug when I played Cosmo at the beginning of season 3. That was a very, very different kind of a role. And so it was fun to be like getting a fight and be me. But I think Linus is, you know, I've spent the most time in that skin. And
yeah.
So I have a real bond with that character.
Do you have a favorite memory on the set of Discovery?
Oh, I have. Yeah, there's so many. It's always such a. My days on set are always so interesting. I think one of my favorites would be that elevator shoot. The day that we shot that, it was late. They'd been shooting all day, and I went in the late afternoon. And we got the prosthetic on, and finally I was on set around midnight, and I was so worried and feeling a lot of stress going in, because when they offered me the role, I was initially very excited, and then I realized, oh my goodness, this is, you know, I'm going to be contributing to canon in a way that is very important, and I want to get it right. You know what I mean? And so I did a lot of research on lizards and posture. Mm-hmm. I worked with a movement coach, and I was so worried and preoccupied that I just wanted it to be right. And as an actor, that often will get in your way of your job, because you're thinking about the wrong things. You just, you know, it's about sort of tuning in as opposed to overthinking. So I got to set and was standing in the turbo lift, and they rehearsed the scene. And so Sonequa came into the elevator and asked me about my throat. And we hadn't talked about the noise that I was going to make, but I just made a noise that I had prepared because, you know, I just wanted to have something ready. So I made kind of a noise. And Sonequa's eyes just bulged out of her head. And she was just like, what? And she started laughing. And, you know, she's wonderful, because she's been on set all day and she still is the same energy that late at night as she does in the morning. And she's like, oh no, everyone, it's going to be a long night with this one. And she laughed and she laughed. And Doug was standing behind me and he sort of patted me on the back. And in that moment of all of this levity and laughter and joy, I heard this voice at the back of my head. And the voice was like, oh, I know what this is. I've got this. And then that was totally the energy of Linus coming in. And it was sort of like this, I had done all the necessary research and I had done my work, and then I just had to stop thinking about it. And that laughter and that moment of joy opened the door for the energy to come in for the character to really blossom. And so it's a really beautiful memory for me because it's kind of how that character came in. And it's also, there's a lot of, I mean, that whole elevator shoot, I don't know if you've seen the gag reel from season two, yeah. but at one yeah. point I sneezed out my teeth. And I was horrified. I was horrified because, you know, like there I'm in the elevator and then the teeth go flying out and I see them break and I'm like, oh, I've just broken $1,000, you know,
like, oh, no.
What have I done? And everyone was so great about it. And I was embarrassed and there was no need to be, but everyone had such a great time during that shoot. And I started having such a good time as Linus that it was a pretty magical moment. And so I have to think that is sort of like, yeah, got to be my top because that was sort of the beginning.
That's great.
One of my friends wanted me to let you know that Linus is their favorite Star Trek character ever.
Thank you so much.
And I was wondering, were you a Star Trek fan growing up? And like, how did you find yourself in this role?
Oh, I was a Star Trek fan. I grew up watching Next Generation. So that was my mm-hmm. Star Trek growing up, which I loved. And I was like a nerdy kid. It was Doctor Who and Star Trek Next Generation. That was my jam growing up.
No one at home can see this, but I'm wearing a Doctor Who Christmas sweater.
Oh, amazing. See, this is all magic
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Tom Baker was my doctor growing up, and
nice.
I was growing up in a small town in Ontario, and I didn't know much about Doctor Who. I just knew I liked the show, mm-hmm. and so I didn't know about the legacy of the character and the regeneration. And when Tom Baker regenerated, I was so confused. I was like, "What just happened?" And none of my friends watched the show, and so I couldn't talk about it. And I was just like, "Who's this guy? What, he's the doctor? What? No one, no." And so I stopped watching because I was just like, "What is going on?" Anyway, digression.
Oh, so I remember someone making a joke. I was like, "The first time he regenerated, did people know what was happening, or were they just like, who's this dude?"
Yeah, who's it? Because and Peter Davidson was so different, mm-hmm. I didn't have the background on the character. It was just this sci-fi program that I watched, you know, and. Mm-hmm. We had to get it on the antenna, and it was, you know, I had no idea what it was, and nobody else was watching. Anyway, Tom Baker, amazing. So loved Star Trek and sci-fi, and I was asked to be part of Discovery by the original creative team, Brian Fuller, who was led by Brian Fuller. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about a character, and then that team departed, and I was just like, oh, I didn't know what was happening, and then things got shuffled around, and then I got a call out of the blue saying, would you be open to be playing a Klingon? And I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. And so that sort of opened the door. That's how I sort of, in season one, played a series of Klingons over the course of the season, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like a trial by fire in terms of learning, like the Klingon prosthetic is a really challenging prosthetic. It's heavy, it's bulky, it's a lot to put on. And I had never done prosthetic work before and had already been fascinated by it. And it was just like, now you're on a giant set. Now you're wearing this huge prosthetic. Now you're a Klingon and your nerd heart is beating so fast. You know, it's like, and it was, And it's also speaking to Klingon, which is, that was tough. Learning Klingon was very hard.
Oh, yeah. I
struggled a lot.
That seems like it would be so hard.
Mm-hmm. And because it's like a language and it has an internal logic, but you're trying to like understand it in the context of the English line and then also sort of flip, because the words don't match up exactly, like so often the meaning. Anyway, it's complicated and I struggled, but at season one, I, you know, got through and sort of learned a lot and found out that I had a knack for it. And then they invited me to be Linus in season two. And so that's that. I don't know what happened in terms of the making of that decision, but I'm super glad that it did. They made it.
So are we.
Thank you.
What is a typical day like for you on set or for Discovery?
A typical day for me would be I'll have my call time. So I get to set for a certain time, whatever. Sometimes it's early in the morning. Sometimes it's the middle of the day, depending on when I'm shooting. I would go to my trailer. I would put my stuff down. I get into my transition clothes, which are the clothes that I wear when I get the prosthetic on, because often stuff will drip everywhere. And so it's just like an old shirt and an old pair of track pants that can get, you know, no one cares. Actually, at the end of this season, I'm going to post, I have a picture of my shirt from the beginning and then the end of the season. It's this blue collar shirt, and it looks like it's been through a war if you compare the shots. So I'll get into my transition clothes, and then I'll go to right to the prosthetics trailer, and I get my prosthetic on, I get my Linus on, and then I will go back to my trailer and get into wardrobe, and at some point after that, be taken to set, shoot what I have to shoot on set, and however long that takes. And then once I'm done shooting for the day, I'll go back to my trailer, get back into my transition clothes, go to the prosthetics trailer, they get everything off, and then I change back into my normal clothes and leave.
Process.
A lot of changing. Yeah. There's a lot of
Yeah.
What do you think Linus's motivation was when he handed Giorgio that popcorn?
Well,
just personally.
When I started to see those scripts, Michelle came up to me and she was like, "Are they pairing us up?" And I was like, "I don't know, but it's super, I'm into it." It was a pretty unusual pairing. I think Linus probably has a crush on Giorgio. I imagine Linus is up for it and has a crush on, like, how I feel about Linus is that, you know, I've talked about this a bit before, like, yeah, I feel like he's very confidently awkward. So he knows he's a bit awkward, but he's not too bothered about it. And he's kind of fascinated by her. And so I think he's just trying to forge a relationship with her and kind of, you know, wear her down so that she kind of, you know, gives him an approving smile or something.
That's awesome. I like that. When you were shooting those scenes where your transporter wasn't working, maybe it was working and it was, maybe he was doing it on purpose. We don't really know. But that's been a fun debate in the fandom why was this happening exactly? Mm-hmm. Were those fun to do? And how did you come up with your reaction for each time he showed up in a seemingly random place?
Yes, they were super fun to do. It's always a special gift to be able to literally pop into a scene that has its own momentum and then totally disrupt it and then pop out again. So it's like a great dynamic to introduce. My approach to that scene, those scenes and that story, was because I don't like, I know it's humorous to see him pop in and out, but I don't play him as a joke. Like mm-hmm. My feeling about it is that he's legitimately trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love most about Linus is that he doesn't give up. He keeps trying. So it's like when you walk into that awkward conversation, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, and then you're like, oh, I shouldn't. But like he doesn't stop using the transporter when he beams into the captain's chair. He tries again, and then he tries again, and he gets a bit more frustrated, but he wants to figure it out. And I admire that about him, because it's easy to try something and not be instantly good at it and think, well, it's not for me, so whatever. So for me, it's just like, it's a reminder of like, you know, what would Linus do? Like if I make a mistake, it's like a great reminder to keep trying and mm-hmm. persevering and see if, you know, you can learn and figure it out. Because, and in my mind, at the end of that episode, he gets to where he's going and he's like, oh, great, you know, mm-hmm. sorted. And then he goes about his day. As for the reactions to the moment, just the sheer fact that I was suddenly sitting in the captain's chair, being a Trek fan, and that chair having so much importance, there was no acting necessary. It was just kind of like, whoa, what is happening? What? That reaction just played itself. Anthony in the second moment, playing off of him is so wonderful, and the Stamets is so, you know, uptight, and it just, like, again, that moment, it just felt like playing off of him just was a perfect opportunity. And then the knowing that I was interrupting a kiss, you could, you know, you know, showing the frustration. It's it was important to me that they each had a different flavor.
Yeah.
But like that it was, he's not the joke, like he's figuring mm-hmm. it out.
That makes sense.
Does that answer your yeah. question? And I don't yes. know, sort of all over the map there.
No, that was perfect. No,
that was great.
That was good.
Okay, no,
that
great.
I loved that running through line, because I think by the time it would happen again, I'd forgotten about it. So I was always surprised.
I knew it was coming. When I finally got to see the episode, I knew it was coming. And I was surprised because I forgot where it was. And it was like, oh, this is so great. Like the timing of it. Mm-hmm. was great, and I was because there's been so much time since we shot that, I was pretty surprised and delighted by it, and so I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that's great, yay Linus.
Great. I have a question.
Okay.
What's your favorite Discovery character?
My favorite Discovery character,
apart from Linus.
You know, I think because he's been such an incredible ally on set, and he's been so supportive of my work, and we've forged such a close bond, and I love how he plays him, I'd have to say Saru, because I just find Doug's heart in that role really beautiful. And I feel like the relationship that he and Michael have had, this kind of sibling relationship through these three seasons, and it's changed so dramatically, it's really powerful, and for him to be able to communicate all that he communicates through the prosthetic and make Saru so relatable and likable and lovable, I Saru always stands out to me. I really admire him.
When you get your makeup done, is Doug also there for some of that time? Or?
Oh yeah, often we're in the makeup trailer together, which is always mm-hmm. we're always calling out to each other, or you know, laughing, or whenever we get to be on set together, it's always my favorite, because we're gonna have a great day. I know that for sure.
It's great.
Well, thank you again. This was so exciting to get to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and good luck with the podcast, and enjoy the rest of season 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's been so good so far.
I'm enjoying it. It's really nice to be able to watch after so long and be like, oh, this is great. I like it.
Yeah.
And stay safe and be well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.